So wherefore I will not be negligent to always, or to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my deceit, to have these things always in remembrance. For have not all come to me devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he said, beginning at verse 17, he says, for we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as into a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now in verses 12, 13, and 15, Paul uses that word remembrance. He used that three times. Do you think he wanted to forget that, or those that he wrote to forget that? No. He wanted them to remember it, didn't he? So he uses these words, urging those that he wrote to remember the divine source of revelation. He wanted them to never forget these things. And what things? What was he talking about? Well, Paul always put them in remembrance of the things that have been revealed by divine inspiration. Paul, or Peter, had examined the obtaining of knowledge. Over 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, we see where Peter talks about how we can obtain that divine knowledge and the importance of that, how we can be spiritually assured of our salvation by adding to our faith those virtues that Peter discusses, that we need to always remember and to never forget. We would be partakers of that divine nature when we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity or love. These things must be in us and abound, and Peter wanted us not to forget that. See, Peter looks back and tells us, recounts the encounter he had with Jesus on the Mount. And Jesus was told, or when he was described to be that spokesperson for God, when the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Peter assures that this revelation that they spoke by the apostles is, Bob mentioned today, was revelation not of man's doing, but God's will, things that God wanted man to know. So he affirms inspiration there, doesn't he? So these are things we should never forget. Now Peter assures that what he and the apostles taught was not of them. So he made reference to Christ being on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter's objective is to see his readers attain that divine nature and eventually the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter sets out to make a distinction between the truth he and other apostles taught and the cunningly devised fables of men. So the message he received was from none other than the Lord God Almighty, and Peter has seen that majesty on the mount, and he rehearses the statement that he heard on the mount when he said, this is my beloved Son, things we should never forgive. Things Peter didn't want those that he wrote to forgive. So there are things to remember, aren't there? You know, there are many things to remember. And sometimes we use proverbial tie string around your finger so you won't forget. But, you know, we use that sometimes. Many use various aids to help them remember things they have to do. They'll write a circle a day on the calendar, or they may use email reminders or personal plans or various reminder methods. So as we age, we tend to forget. For reason, I think of the hereafter. By that I mean, what am I hereafter when I go to the store? You know, so sometimes I go to the garage to get something, and between the room I was in, by the time I get to the garage, I forget what I was hereafter. So I have to stand there and think about it. Because we forget. But we may have forgotten an anniversary or a birthday or an appointment we scheduled. But even though we have busy lives, there are things we should not forget. Especially in the physical realm, but more importantly, in the spiritual realm. So I want to talk about things not to forget this morning. First of all, never forget God. And make a habit of remembering God from an early age. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, when the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain." See, most people who have obeyed the gospel out of later and later years, most of them look back at regret for not having obeyed the gospel in earlier years. They understand there are many years wasted where they could have been productive in God's work. So Solomon encouraged us to remember thy Creator in the days of your youth, when you have that energy to do so. You need to develop a strong desire to remember God. In Isaiah chapter 26, beginning at verse 7, Isaiah said, "The way of the righteous or the just is uprightness. Thou most upright doeth way the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgment, O Lord, we have waited for thee. The desire of our souls is to do thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit, even me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." So let us be like Isaiah, to learn and strive to develop that desire to follow the upright way. Follow what God's teachings are, not what man says. You know, God used various methods to call to remember things, the Old Testament. He uses fringes or tassels as a reminder. Over in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37, there, the text says there, "And the Lord God spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put on the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye look, may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them." Not just remember them, but do them. In other words, remember to do them. "And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which after ye use to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am your Lord God." They use fringes to remind them. The Sabbath was a reminder of the freedom from servitude. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, the text says there, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out of out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. It was a remembrance, a day of remembrance. Also the Passover was a reminder of their exodus from Egypt. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3, the text says there, thou shalt eat no unleavened bread, or no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Next, let us remember things that we need to remember as young. And so the young of the Israelites were to inquire of their history. You know, you've heard people say if we forget our history, we're doomed to repeat it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 6. The text is there. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? And remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. They're to look back at their history, not forget it. Their parents were to teach them. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, the text is there, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children, or teach their children, their history. Why? Because if they were complacent, they would forget it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse, read Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 as well, on that last point. He said, hear, O Lord, Israel, or hear, O Israel, the Lord God, our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. So they were to teach them the Lord's ways, their young people. They were to teach them so they wouldn't forget. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, we see where they were not to be complacent. You know, when we get complacent, we forget. You ever got something because you were just complacent about it? Beginning at verse 10, the text is there, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers. Abraham said to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Let the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God, as you tempted him in Massah. But they were to remember, they were not to be complacent, they were to always remember. So we need to remember as well, don't we? Well, Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, We need to make this application to ourselves, that we need to always remember God's Word. Don't forget the things that we have learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 7, Paul said, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, seed of David, was raised up from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, by the word of God, of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." This is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of souls. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But churn for fame, vain babbling, for they will increase for more unto ungodliness." You ought to remember that. We need to do that. We need to remember, as Paul instructed Timothy, put things in remembrance. Next, we should never forget God, because Israel forgot God. They forgot him. In Judges chapter 8, verse 34, the text is there, "The children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered him out of the hands of all their enemies on every side." The psalmist said in Psalms 106, verse 13, he said, "They soon forgot his words. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, and the saints of the Lord. And the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb. They worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt." They forgot. Now, Paul reminded the Corinthians about these same people who forgot God over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said, Moreover, brother, I would not have you to be ignorant. He wanted them to remember this. "How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the clouds and the sea, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. And that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were written for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, people sat down to eat and drink up and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of destroyers. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition." What if we forget these things, though? He says they're written for our good, our admonition. He says, "Upon whom the ends of the world will come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall." See, we could be tempted to fall into these same problems. So we need to be careful, lest we forget. See, the Israelites, they forgot countless days. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, Jeremiah said, "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire?" You ever seen a bride forget to wear her wedding dress? Haven't seen that, have you? He said, "Yet my people have forgotten my days without number." See, they were condemned as a result of that. The psalmist said the wicked should be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. Verse 50, chapter 50, verse 2, says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, as there be no deliverer." great harm in forgetting God. You know, His authority and memory are eternal. In Psalms chapter 135, the psalmist says, "The name, or Thy name, O Lord, endures forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." So we're never to forget God. He is eternal. He is always to be reverenced and regarded. You know, man forgets, though. But the thing about it, God doesn't. God doesn't forget our forgetfulness. He said, "Can a man or a woman forget her suffering child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." So even though man may forget God, God does not forget man. He's quick to respond when we're obedient to Him. You know, God offers salvation, though. Many forget that. Most reject it. The Hebrew writer said, though, therefore we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And just forget what God has done for us. He said, for if the word of God spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed in us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. So God spake through the apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. But are we going to forget that? Do we forget the divine revelation God has given to us? Remember, Jesus said over Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, He said, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." What's the difference in those two? Well, those that are on the wide gate, they forgot or forget God. Those in the straight and narrow way, there are those that remember God's word. Now, Paul and Barnabas, when they were on their first missionary journey in Pisidia, Antioch, Pisidia, they told the Jews, "Have been seeing ye have put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." They forgot God, His suffering in Christ. We should never forget God's word, because it will benefit us, won't it? Who can say that God's word doesn't benefit anybody? I mean, there's nobody that can honestly say that. People say, "Well, it won't help me." Well, you haven't tried it. If you say that, you need to try it first, and try it before you criticize it. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, the text says, "There hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." In other words, don't forget them. "Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. "Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her, or when you don't forget her. She shall give to thine hand an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee." It profits, doesn't it, when we remember it? See, we must remember Christ's words. In Acts chapter 20, verse 31, Paul is in Ephesus. He said, "I have showed you all things, how that by so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How He said it's more blessed to give than to receive." Jesus said over in John chapter 12, verse 48, He said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, that's one that judgeth them, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The same word that Jesus spoke. that people forget will be their judge. See, we must remember the words of the apostles. Jude said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sinful, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." God's Word warns us of all sorts of dangers, doesn't it? But do we forget that? Do we forget that? Remember, Jude warned of mockers in the last days. See, Ezra was destroyed for forgetting God's Word. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will also forget thy children." Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are banished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." Why? They had no knowledge or no remembrance of God's Word. And the psalmist urges us not to forget God's Word. The psalmist in Psalm 119 repeatedly said, "I will not forget." Verse 16 of Psalm 119, he said, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." In verse 61, he said, "The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law." In verse 83, he said, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes." Verse 93, he said, "I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me or made me alive." Verse 109, he said, "My soul is continual in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." And in verse 141, he says, "I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." The psalmist remembered God's Word. So we can remember God's Word by meditating on it. Remember what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Peter said, "Moreover, I endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance," or to dwell on those words, or to contemplate those, meditate upon those. James said, by application, we can remember God's words. He said, "But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word." When we apply the words and commands of Jesus, when we do them, we'll not forget them. You see, this man should be blessed in his deeds. Remember Timothy. He was instructed by his grandmother, and Paul reminded them of this, his mother and his grandmother. He said, "But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, or completely furnished unto all good works." When does that happen? When we remember it. If we forget it, it's useless. If we disregard it, how will it instruct us? How will it make us righteous? How will it furnish us to do all of God's good works? It won't. Then study. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. How can you handle aright something you've forgotten? Or something you disregard? Then we need to consider others, what they do for us. The Hebrew writer said, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Paul urged those to remember his bonds. He said, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Apostle Paul urged us to remember the bonds that he suffered as a result of his preaching the gospel. We should never forget others. We need to thank others of their kindness and their suffering on our behalf. Paul reminded others in prayer, remembered others in prayer. Concerning the Philippians, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus." Paul remembered the Philippians. He also remembered those in Thessalonica. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." So you need to remember those that are serving God faithfully. Think of them. Pray for them. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15, he says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul remembered various ones. In Hebrews chapter 13, we see what Paul tells us to remember strangers. So do we remember those that we should remember? We need to remember those who need help. You know, strangers need help. We entertain people we don't even know. You probably had someone show up for services, maybe taken them to lunch and didn't even know who they were until you met them that day. But the Hebrew writer said, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some of you have entertained angels unawares." You should remember those in prison for Christ, those who are suffering for Christ. Paul said in Hebrews, or the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." You need to remember the poor and those that do good things. He said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, "But to do good and to communicate, share, or to share, forget not." Don't forget that. "For such sacrifices God is well pleased." You should remember those that are poor. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "Only they would that you should remember the poor. The same also I was forward to do." Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "We're to do good as we have the opportunity, especially those of the household of faith." And if we forget, God will remember that. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." So Paul, or Jesus, or God remembers our works that we do that are good. Remember the things that we don't do as well. We should never forget God's forgiveness. We fail to grow if we forget. And Peter urged growth, didn't he? Go back to our text, 2 Peter. And Peter taught that we're to grow and various things. And Peter said, beginning at verse 3, "According to his divine power, giving us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called you, or us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love." He said, "For if these things be in you and abound, and make you only to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lack of these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never fall. So Paul teaches us, or Peter teaches us, how that we can conduct ourselves so that we'll be partakers of the divine nature and never fall. So we fail to grow, we fail to add those virtues, and we'll forget God's forgiveness. Now this is why we're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, isn't it? One of the reasons. To remember the sacrifice that he made for us. And Paul said, he told the Corinthians that he had received of the Lord that which also he delivered unto you. He said that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And he said, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. So we see then the first century, the saints, they met upon the first day of the week to break bread in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, those that gladly received his word, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in prayers, referring to the Lord's Supper. Verse 46 talks about the breaking of bread from house to house, which is a common meal. That's not the Lord's Supper there. They associated together and had common meals, but verse 42 refers to the Lord's Supper. Why were they to do that? To remember the suffering of Jesus and the great love that he showed to mankind by his sacrifice on the cross. Luke records this over in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine till the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament of my blood which is shed for you. So Paul, or Luke, records God's institution, or the institution of the Lord suffered by Jesus, to do that in remembrance of him. Next, we should never forget God's chastening. You know, we all need divine correction, don't we? We need it. Now, the spoiled child, think about it, a spoiled child is a child that lacks chastening. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5, he said in verse 5, he said, have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherever are you all partakers? Then are you your illegitimate and not sons. So the Lord's chastening does good. Have you ever been reading scripture and kind of rubs you the wrong way? That's the Lord's chastening. It's not comfortable to read that scripture because it makes us feel guilty. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of this correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son, and he delighteth. Now, godly chastening yields good fruit. Paul rebuked the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 through 15, Paul rebuked the Corinthians in some way. In chapters 1 and 3, he rebuked them about their division. In chapters 2 and 3, he rebuked them about their fleshly mindedness. In chapters 4 and 9, Paul dealt with their doubt of his apostleship. In chapter 5, he dealt with their tolerance of immorality. In chapter 6, he dealt with them going to law one against another brother. In chapter 7, he dealt with questions concerning marriage. In chapter 8, he discussed eating of meats offered idols. In chapter 10, he dealt with murmuring. In chapter 11, he dealt with their despite of the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, he dealt with the proper use of spiritual gifts. In chapter 15, he dealt with their doubt of the resurrection. So the 1 Corinthians letter was a letter of rebuke. Verse 16, though he exhorted them, he talked about his final projected itinerary in verses 1 through 12, and then encouraged them to be strong in the faith and to have affection for one another. So as we think about the corrections Paul gave to the Corinthians, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he rebuked them because they accepted the man involved in incest. Remember that? So Paul rebuked them. So the fruit of this rebuke, I think, is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, beginning verse 8. Turn with me to that. Paul said, "For even after I've made you sorry with my letters, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that your sorrowing in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, in all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter because of Paul's rebuke. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did it not, or did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong," referring to the man who committed incest, "nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comforts, and we rejoice exceedingly more for this joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." Paul, Titus reported back to Paul and told him of this correction. "For if in anything I boasted to him about you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting to Titus was found true. And his affections were greater for you, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Therefore I rejoice that I have confidence in you in everything." Do the Corinthians remember what Paul told them to do? So we should never forget God. Never forget his words. Never forget others. Never forget God's forgiveness. Never forget God's chastening. Over in Psalm chapter 103, the psalmist said, "Forget not all his benefits." Turn with me to Psalm 103. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In other words, we didn't get what we really deserved. He was merciful. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy to reward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness of His children's children, to keep such as keep or to such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in heaven, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places, His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The Lord is merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. He's tenderhearted. He's kind. So we should never forget God, His word, others, His forgiveness, nor His safety. The lesson is yours. If you're any way subject, the Lord didn't take. Remember that the alien sinner must hear God's word and hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, be baptized in water for the remission of sins, and Aaron, children of God, must repent and pray for forgiveness. And we as children of God must live faithfully in the death so that we'll receive that crown of life which has been promised to all that are faithful to Him. Shall we stand as we sing the Lord's invitation song? Shall we stand, Lord?
Number 909. There's a fountain free.